Have the Jewish rabbis tampered with the Holy Scriptures to prevent Jewish people from believing in Jesus? Is there a conspiracy? Next, on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with Dr. Philip Moore, and he has the most amazing research that he uncovered in his multi-year investigation in Israel about a conspiracy that very few people understand, especially Jewish rabbis. It's time that people think for themselves. Now, Dr. Moore, you told me people that we've studied here in the United States, famous scientists like Sir Isaac Newton, you found some amazing information about him.
Yeah, he was considered, the New York Herald Tribune said that he considered his religious writings on the Bible much more important than his scientific writings.
And we never hear about his religious writings in the Bible.
I've read a good bit of them, and I have some copies of the originals. And he said the Jews would return to Jerusalem in the 20th century. Isaac Newton did. And he said that he was right there. He was right there, that they have. And he said the second coming would be in the 21st century.
Whoa, and, did you get that? Sir Isaac Newton prophesied the second coming would be in this century.
Before the mid-21st century, actually. So we don't know. Nobody knows the day or the hour.
But well, you're a professor type, but I didn't think you knew that.
Well, it's in our lifetimes from the best that I can speculate. And I put the calculations in one of my chapters that deal with the second coming.
Now, Einstein was very intrigued with Sir Isaac Newton.
Mm-hmm. He wrote three letters, and I've got them. They've never been published before, and they're published in the work. In his own hand in German, but translated also. And he wanted to see these writings of Newton get out to Princeton, Yale, or Harvard. And you know what? They all turned them down. Abraham Shalom Yehuda, who was the collector who bought these things from Sotheby in England, died and willed them to the Hebrew University not too many years ago. And there they're being studied by scholars. They deal with his whole outlook.
But why would Einstein want this information out that Jesus is going to be returning soon?
Well, Einstein had a lot of nice things to say about Jesus. He said that no myth could be filled with such life. And I've got some quotes of Einstein in there.
So Einstein might have been a Jewish believer in Jesus, for all we know.
I think so. I had written another book called What If Hitler Won the War? And I quote him even more.
Oy vey. What a title.
It would have been the worst thing of all. And I believe only God's providence stopped him. And it was part of it was Einstein writing to Roosevelt saying, we've got to get going on the atomic bomb. Before they turned all of our factories into war machines to make the tanks and planes that it would take to stop Hitler before it was too late. But had he won, we would have had a pagan world with no Israel. So God had to stop Hitler so Israel could be reborn, so Jesus could come back to save his people in the end days.
Speaking about famous people, Columbus sailed the ocean blue and discovered America. Mm-hmm. But you discovered something about Christopher Columbus.
I believe he was a Jewish believer in Jesus.
Why?
He put Beit Hei, common Jewish greeting, which means Bezrat Hashem, with the help of God in that time, on some of his letters that he sent
He would write these two Hebrew letters down, mm-hmm. which were almost like a code for Jewish people.
That's right, that's right. On his letters that he sent to the family, not the ones that he sent to the queen and all. And he also, his mother's name was Shoshana.
That's Jewish.
And also, Abarbanel, his finance minister, was Jewish. And several other things we've got listed in that small chapter on Columbus. That he really loved prophecy, and that's why he said he started out to find the New World.
He had a book with him, you said.
That proves that Jesus is the Messiah, and it was written for one rabbi to convince another rabbi. And he treasured that as his most treasured possession. It proved that Jesus was a Jewish Messiah from a Jewish standpoint.
Now, you have really done research on this area of what happened in 70 AD. You see, in 70 AD, the Jewish temple was destroyed. The only way to be acceptable with God was to have an animal sacrifice in the temple. Now, no temple. So there are only two options. Either Jesus is the Jewish Messiah and has fulfilled all these animal sacrifices and his blood atones for our sins. As the book of Leviticus says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Or we have to invent a new type of Judaism. And unfortunately, my Jewish people invented a new type of religion called Rabbinic Judaism. Tell me a bit about the history of that, Philip.
Okay, well, a guy named Aquila actually retranslated the Septuagint and took out words like the Messiah was to become.
Now, what was the Septuagint?
The Septuagint was a 70 rabbinic scholars made a Greek translation of the Bible, of the Old Testament, for the Jews. And it's common, you know, we have it today. It was what was being used at that time. So Aquila made a new version where he altered a lot of the Messianic prophecies.
But wait a second, that's the Bible. That's the Word of God.
But he didn't care as long as he could keep people from seeing this, because they felt if too many Jews believed in Jesus, like all the Gentiles that were believing, they might drop their holidays, stop being Jews, and before you know it, there wouldn't be any Jewish people. They also made the Birkat HaMinim, which was where they altered the Amida prayer in the synagogue, the 12th.
Okay, I know that in the synagogue we pray these benedictions, a form of prayer in the synagogue, and they added a new one. What was this new one they added?
Number 12, they actually altered it and put it in there, may there be no hope for the Minim, the Nozrim, like that's Hebrew for Christians, Jewish Christians. May their name be abolished from the Book of Life. So that way he couldn't repeat it in the synagogue Jerome said at that time there were 40% in the first three centuries, 40% of the synagogues were filled with 40% of the people worshiping in the synagogues were Jews who believed in Jesus.
Hold that thought. Did you hear what Philip just said? The first believers in Jesus in the churches and in the synagogues, 40% in the traditional synagogues were Jews that believed in Jesus, and to kind of smoke them out, if you'll pardon the pun, they changed this benediction that was said by all the Jews in the synagogue, cursing Jewish believers in Jesus, so they'd look around and see who was not speaking when that curse would be said. And we'll find out when I come back what would happen to those Jews that would not renounce their faith in Jesus. I'll be right back. Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter with Philip Moore, and we just found out that there was a trick prayer in the synagogue after Jesus died and rose from the dead. The rabbis inserted this trick prayer to find out, smoke out, if you will, the Jews that believed in Jesus, because 40% of the Jews in the synagogue were believers in Jesus. I mean, in the traditional synagogue. And when they would not say this prayer, cursing Jews that believed in Jesus, what would happen to them, Dr. Philip Moore?
Well, they would invite them to leave. And this way they could separate and create a fissure between mainstream Judaism, the one they were creating, and the different groups of Jews that believed in Jesus. So they could just simply redefine Judaism and say, you can't believe in Jesus and be Jewish, which is false. Another thing they did to keep them from realizing that Jesus was the Messiah, because they were afraid they would become extinct as a people and a nation, they said, let's reinterpret the Messianic prophecies. So I have the ancient commentaries on those prophecies and the modern refutations.
In other words, what Philip is saying right now is that the ancient rabbis looked at these predictions about the Messiah in the scriptures and said, oh, it's talking about the Messiah. But the modern rabbis looked at those same predictions in the Jewish scriptures and said, let's make a modern interpretation because otherwise Jewish people will believe in Jesus. Well, Philip, give me an example of this.
Well, it says that the Star of Bethlehem, and the ancient rabbi said in the week the Messiah would be born, three planets would appear in the sky. This would be the star. And Kepler figured it out, Mars, Saturn, and Jupiter, right? Come into conjunction every 800
like
years.
Like into alignment.
Into alignment, where they're so close together they look like a bright star. We have a photo of that. And the modern rabbis say, oh, that was never predicted of the Messiah. Yet there's a prediction in the Old Testament about it, and the rabbis writing before Jesus came said that the Messiah would come when the star would, you know. There are other prophecies about where he was supposed to be born in Bethlehem, where he was supposed to come and suffer, where he was supposed to be crucified, actually, be pierced. And Zechariah says when he comes back, everybody will see, look upon the one that was pierced, and then all Israel will become saved. And I believe, you know.
So, but did the modern rabbis alter that in any way?
Yeah, they said that Zechariah, we have a quote right beside the ancient one, where they say Zechariah was talking about the nation of Israel, not the Messiah. And a lot of times they will say Isaiah's predictions about the Messiah suffering, they will say, no, that's about the Jewish people or Israel suffering. Yet the old commentaries have Messiah right by the word suffering, and they've just kind of gone around, you know. For example, the Messiah ben Joseph, Messiah ben David legends indicate that the Messiah will come.
What legends?
Well, there's a legend about the Messiah is predicted in the Bible to come twice. Okay, a lot of rabbis said, no, it's supposed to happen once, and he'll do it right the first time. But the ancient legends, the Jewish legends say that he'll come and he'll be like Joseph, Messiah ben Joseph, Messiah ben David. He'll come and suffer as Joseph suffered, but he'll be king one day like David. So when Jesus came, he was sold. Joseph was sold to the Egyptians, the non-Jews, the Goyim. So Jesus was betrayed for the price of a slave, as Joseph was to the Romans. Jesus suffered. Everybody thought, well, nice guy, but he died. Joseph was given. They showed the coat of blood to Joseph's father. He said, oh my God, some animals devoured my son. So for a long time, everybody thought, you know, that Joseph was dead, and they thought Jesus was dead, right? But meanwhile, Joseph is in Egypt, becoming very powerful. And the second visit that his brothers make to him, he reveals himself. He takes all of his Gentile clothes off and says, I'm your brother, Joseph, and they cry. When Jesus returns, all of his people in Israel and saves them, they will look upon him who they pierced. At that moment, when he stops the armies from coming in on them, which I don't believe is more than a few, well, in this generation, then they'll cry and they'll say, you know, this is the one, you know, Joseph told his brothers, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good, because God wanted to save many people alive, because Joseph grew all that food, and that's how Israel would go to Egypt to get food. So Jesus was, you know, the fact that he died for us is what he came to do. You know, people try to accuse people of saying, oh, you know, this was wrongly done to Jesus. Jesus said, I came to lay down my life. And when he comes the second time, because he died the first time for all of our sins, because he loved us, and I have a picture of a crucified heel bone that in the book, that's the only one that's ever been found, and it was dug up in Israel, you know, to illustrate how painful crucifixion was. But he was willing to go to the cross for us and suffer as Joseph suffered, so one day he could bring, come back and set up a kingdom, and we would be redeemed through his blood, so we could live forever as resurrected believers in that kingdom.
So you're saying to me the ancient rabbi saw that the Messiah would suffer, be rejected by his own people, and also saw that the Messiah would be a king. Mm-hmm. Put the two together, and who do you have? You've got Jesus. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. Before we go back to Philip Moore and find out about the ancient beliefs that there would be a false Messiah that would come, I believe, right about this time, and this was a belief, by the ancient Jewish rabbis. It's kind of covered up today for a very specific purpose. Let's go to the control room. Janie Duvall, who's our guest next week?
Sid, you'll be interviewing a Jewish man from the Ukraine who came to the United States and became a very well-known acrobatic gymnast. He was on a lot of major TV shows. He became very rich, but he felt very empty, so he tried drugs and he became a drug addict. He couldn't get off of drugs. There wasn't any way he tried. And then all of a sudden, he cried out. He didn't believe in God. But all of a sudden, his ceiling opened up and something touched him and he was instantly free of drugs.
What touched him?
Oh, you're going to have to find out next week.
Okay, I can't wait. So, Philip, I mean, this is wild. The ancient rabbis saw what's called an antichrist or a false messiah. Tell me what the ancient rabbis saw based on the scriptures and based on their understanding.
Well, interpreting Daniel and stuff where the antichrist is mentioned, where Jesus refers to him in the Gospel of Matthew, you know, about the holy place that Daniel talks about that he'll go into and defile in the temple in the end days, which could be another 20 years, I hate to say, in my opinion, but that'll go like that. He said that
Have you noticed, by the way, I don't want to get far adrift,
yeah,
Philip,
yeah,
but have you noticed there it's sort of like time is being compressed?
Mm.
I mean, the months, you just blink your eyes. The years, you just blink your eyes.
It's just going
I believe
faster
it's
and
a
faster.
Supernatural
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
It used to take forever for a year to pass. Just the other day it was 2000, now it's 2001. Just
okay,
like
so tell me what the ancient rabbis interpreted.
Well, they said that, and you can find this information in any Jewish encyclopedia almost. Look at all the Jewish, I quote from a whole assortment of Jewish encyclopedias mm-hmm. and dictionaries, and they talk about the Armelius as a false messiah. He'll mm-hmm. come wreak havoc on Jerusalem. He'll persecute the Jewish people. You know, the same thing that's written in the New Testament in Revelation and in the Old Testament in Daniel. But the Jews don't know. It's considered folklore. It's never gone over. You talk about Armelius, that means destroyer of the peoples. They say, Armel what? You know, Armelius. This is the Jewish Antichrist, and it's identical to the Antichrist in the New Testament. And we need to tell our Jewish brothers because people
what
was
is
not...
What is going to be happening, according... Let me hang on to that. But what is going to be happening, according to your understanding of Scriptures, Doctor, between now and that point? Why do we have to warn Jewish people?
Because they will be fooled by this individual. They will think he'll come and bring a type of peace for a short time, and he'll make the world work like it's never worked before because he is impersonating the Messiah. But God won't let his peace to... See, when Yeshua or Jesus was not accepted the first time by the majority of the people, and he said, I'll come back when you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. That means in Hebrew, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
So you're saying the Messiah won't return until our Jewish people say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and always receives Jesus. That's
right.
What you're saying.
So Jesus told the Pharisees of his day, I've come in my Father's name and you don't believe me. If another comes in his own name, him you're going to believe, because they wanted to see all the miracles and the fantastic beauty of the second coming and the first. And it would have happened side by side if he hadn't been rejected. But because they were afraid of Rome and what they would do if they received their own king and they were worried about political things, they put Jesus on the back burner, convinced the people don't believe. So now a false Messiah, Satan in the flesh will masquerade as the Messiah and fool a lot of Jewish people 7 years before Jesus returns to the earth to bring peace.
Will they rebuild the temple? What will happen in Israel?
Yeah, the temple, I believe, this generation will be rebuilt, and he'll go in and try to proclaim himself the Messiah and God, and most of the Jewish people will say, well, we don't believe that this guy could be God, and then he'll persecute them. There's an interesting movie on that subject called The Omega Code. Have you seen that?
I have seen that.
And it covers some points about that. And this guy want to be worshipped as God. And when they refuse, then he'll reap, like it says in the Jewish encyclopedias, havoc on Jerusalem that has never been seen before.
What about the whole concept of the deity of Jesus, that he's Son of God, or the triune nature of God? Is this an ancient rabbinic understanding?
Right. In Jeremiah, where it talks, the word is named Jehovah. He's called all the ancient Hebrew names for God in several of the prophecies. It says, unto us a son will be born, El Gibor is mentioned, the mighty God in Isaiah chapter 9. A lot of people try to say it's a mistranslation, but for anybody that knows Hebrew, it's there. So the real Messiah is really God in the flesh, come down to save his people, because that's what the Bible predicted. One day, God would actually become a person. You know, you have a person. The human body isn't God, but the spirit inside is, indwelt by God. And he would come down and save the world by giving his life.
There's a famous rabbi in traditional Judaism called Rabbi Akiba. Mm-hmm. Tell me about him.
Yeah, he wanted to... It's obvious from what he wrote, what the things that were written in the Talmud, that Jesus was a real person of that real time, because he said you should never heal anybody in the name of Jesus. And they had a code, the first believers had a code word for Jesus, and that was his name added up to the phrase in Exodus which says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." And a lot of the apostles were going around healing people, and they were saying, "Don't do this," because, and they were saying that this has to do with the Christians, the Jews that believe in Jesus, don't do it. It's better to die than to get healed by them. And
so that proves they were being healed in the name of Jesus.
That proves he's a real person, like the Josephus has written about the miracles, and he wasn't a Christian, and he was writing about the Jewish historian, all the miracles Jesus did. And a lot of people say, well, no, that's been interpolated by the church. But recently they found an ancient, we reproduce it, an ancient, more ancient copy done in Arabic that said the same thing. So that proves it's not a forgery.
But going back to Rabbi Akiba, mm-hmm. he declared his cousin the Messiah. Tell me about that.
He declared, they gave him the name Bar Kokhba, the Messiah. And he was one of the first of the long line of false messiahs that we have that will lead up to the real chief impersonator of the Messiah, who's Satan in the flesh in the end days. But we had many false messiahs, and he led that army in there to Israel, and they lost 500,000 Jews because he was asking that the Christians be persecuted, Akiba was, and that his cousin is the Messiah, and it led to the dispersion, the 135 dispersion, you know, the 70 AD and a 135,
and the Jews were scattered to the four corners
of the earth.
But this Bar Kokhba was declared the Messiah. He died. A lot of Jews died. So the rabbis made a mistake on the Messiah, but they've made a lot of mistakes. So what is going to happen when this false Messiah comes on the scene? What do you think the rabbis will do? You think they might accept him?
Yeah, they'll tell people that this is a guy because he's bringing in Middle East peace, and that's all you hear in the news today, you know. But they'll see, because he's doing these fantastic, miraculous things that appeals to them, they'll say, okay, well, this is the man, and unfortunately, a lot of people will believe. But if we arm people with the real messianic prophecies that are in the Bible, show them what the ancient rabbis said before there was time to get biased because of Jesus coming in, then I think we can head off this deception.
Did you hear that? According to the Bible, according to the ancient rabbis, a false Messiah peacemaker is going to come on the scene. The temple in Israel will be rebuilt. There'll be a peace, so everyone's going to say, oh, what a wonderful man. But what Dr. Moore is concerned about is, in traditional Judaism, we're not warned about such a peacemaker. Think for yourself. What's the best way? Read the scriptures for yourself. Don't rely on other people. What's the best way? Come to know God for yourself. Not know about him, know him. Not say, I believe because my parents believe, but experience him. It's possible. It's what God wants for you. Say out loud, dear God, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. The blood of Jesus washes away my sins. And now that I'm clean, I ask Jesus to be my Messiah and Lord. Come into me, Jesus. Come into me, Spirit of the living God. I love you, God. I'm so glad you love me. I'm so glad you accept me. I'm so glad.